Appreciate Brother Jeff Stanford coming to be with us tonight. Brother Jeff is a pastor of the Free Life Worship Center, Sardis, Alabama, just outside of Boaz on the side of Sam Mountain. And God's gave him a great ministry there. He's blessed him. He evangelized for many years before he started pastoring, and God used him mightily in that work. He's preached in other countries besides the United States by invitation. And so he's a man of God that I have a lot of respect for. And I'm looking forward to the word that God has given him for this congregation. Let's make him welcome tonight, Brother Jeff Stanford.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited to be here at the Alabaster Church tonight. And I'm excited to be with your pastor and his family. Do you love your pastor? Well, give him a big God bless you tonight. Amen. If you're visiting with us tonight, we want to make you welcome here at the Alabaster Church. What about all the Alabaster folks giving all of our visitors a big welcome tonight? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, look with me tonight to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, a real familiar portion, Psalm 150. While you're finding that, I want to say that in Psalm 146, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord." And in the last verse, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." In Psalm 147, in verse 1, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." And in the last verse, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." In Psalm 148, in verse 1, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." And in the last verse, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." In Psalm 149 in verse 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord." And in the last verse, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." And in Psalm 150 verse 1, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, just in case anyone missed it, as David is signing his farewell or putting his signature on the longest book in the book, the first word in verse 1 is praise. And the first word in verse 2 is praise. The first word in verse 3 is praise. And the first word in verse 4 is praise. And the first word in verse 5 is praise. And in verse 6 he said, "Let everything that hath breath praise him." And David must have saw this generation coming down the road, and he knew that no matter how many times we were told and encouraged to praise, that we still might not get it. So the first word in the first sentence is praise. The first word in the second sentence is praise. The first word in the third sentence is praise. The first word in the fourth sentence is praise. The first word in the fifth sentence is praise. The first word in the sixth sentence is praise. The first word in the seventh sentence is praise. The first word in the eighth sentence is praise. The first word in the ninth sentence is praise. The first word in the tenth sentence is praise. The first word in the 11th sentence is praise. And he said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." I just wonder if God's trying to send us the message that there is something in giving God praise. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, in the church of God, most of the time, if we have these great altar services like we like to have, and the minister asks you to praise the Lord, the first thing you're going to hear out of people's mouth is thank you. But thank you is not praise. God wants us to glorify him in everything that we are and everything that we do. He wants us to do everything for his glory. Thanksgiving is not like praise. Thanksgiving is glorifying or giving God glory for all of the stuff that he has blessed us with. Somebody ought to say thank you for the shoes I've got on. Thank you for the automobile I rode over here in. Thank you for the nice home I'm going back to. But that's not praise. You see, praise is glorifying God because of what He's done. Not because of what He's gave us, but because of what He's done. I just wonder if there's anybody in the house tonight that the Lord has done anything for you. Then you ought to be praising Him if the Lord has done anything for you. I want us to pray right here before we go further into the message, that the Lord would anoint our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that we could receive the word of the Lord, and tonight it would be more than just a sermon. But it would be a meal prepared by the Lord Himself that would carry us in the days ahead. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You and praise You for all of the wonderful people that You have brought into this house on this Tuesday evening. And Lord, it is our intention tonight to give You glory in this house. We pray that tonight, God, You would open Your word to us, and that, Lord, as Your word goes forth, our minds and our hearts, our spirits would receive it with gladness. And Lord, it would be like a fine meal prepared for us in heaven, sent down to us, Lord, that it may sustain us and carry us in the days ahead. And Lord, let it bring great revival, not just to any one particular church, but to every person in this room. Let there be a fresh fire and a new stirring in their life to glorify You with all that they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Almost every verse in Psalm 150 begins with the word praise. And almost every sentence in Psalm 150 begins with the word praise. David ends his book with an outburst of praise. And any time that we give God an outburst of praise, He always gives us an explosion of His glory. We've heard it said over and over in the Pentecostal church, especially when the praises go up, the glory of God comes down. You see, praise in the New Testament saint must be viewed as normal. A normal lifestyle for the child of God, not an occasional experience. For special people at special times or special seasons. Some of us are still sitting around waiting on goosebumps or Holy Ghost lightning or something to happen before we jerk a little or say a few syllables someone can't understand, and maybe we call that the Holy Spirit sometime. But the Lord is looking for somebody who will praise Him just because He's God. And He's God when you don't feel nothing. So He's looking for somebody that'll praise Him when you don't feel nothing. He's God when there's no lightning. He's God when there's no goosebumps. He's looking for somebody that's here to praise Him, not for what they can get, but because of who He is. He's God if you never get healed. He's God if you never see another miracle. He's God if you never get another answer to prayer. He's God, and He's looking for somebody that will praise Him just because He's God. Amen. Has anybody got a praise in them just because He's God? Now, praise is for all of us. It's for everyone. It's for the young Christian, and it's for those who have been serving God a long time. Matter of fact, if we could get some sinners to praise Him, they'd praise their way right into salvation. Amen. God tells us where, first of all, in verse 1, He tells us where He wants us to praise Him. He said, praise ye the Lord. First of all, He tells us who He wants us to praise. He wants us to praise the Lord. He said, praise Him in His sanctuary and in the firmament of His power. He's got it in the right order. If we don't praise Him in His sanctuary, we will never know the joy of praising Him in the firmament of His power. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the sanctuary or the temple of the Lord is our bodies. Some of y'all might want to hold on to your pew, because some folks think the only time you should praise the Lord is when you are in the Spirit. You're going to have to do something about getting in the Spirit. And the Lord is telling us how to get in the Spirit. You have to, first of all, start out with your temple, which is made of flesh, that sanctuary that you're in that's tired, that doesn't feel well. that's in a bad mood. It has to start in the sanctuary, or we will never be able to rise into the firmament or into the spirit realm where the power and the glory of God dwells, and the answers to our prayers are there, and all the needs that we have are met. They are met in the firmament of His power. We must start praising Him in the flesh. Did you hear what I said? We must start praising Him when we don't feel like it. We must start praising Him when we're in the wrong mood. We must start praising Him when it's the wrong song. We must start praising Him when we don't like something that's going on in the service around us. When we're disturbed, upset, discouraged, defeated, we must start right there with our flesh. Deal with our flesh. Paul said, "My flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing." Do we have any willing spirits in here? I just wonder if there's somebody here tonight, you've got a lot of problems in your life and you really need some miracles or some healings. Would you raise your hand? You're the one who needs to start praising God right where you are. Praise Him in the middle of your need. Praise Him in the middle of all of your trials and tribulations. Praise Him while you're going through the fire with gasoline britches on. Praise Him while you're still in trouble. Amen. Because when you begin to praise Him, He begins to lift you out of what you're going through. Amen. Look over at somebody and say, "We're about to get back to normal now." David begins with the sanctuary. He's saying if we don't praise Him in His sanctuary, we will never find Him. Far less praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise is good for the soul. Praise delivers the praiser, hold on to your pew, from selfishness. It was all about us until we started praising. And when we got started praising, it became all about Him. We started praising Him while it was all about our need and all about our problems and all about our trials and all about our sickness and all about our lack. But while we got started praising Him, He lifted us into the firmament of His power. And in the firmament of His power was the glory of God. And we lost contact with all we were going through. Have you ever been in one of those services where you had the cares of life and the burdens of the world laying upon your shoulder? You had needs and no answers, but all at once while the choir was singing, somebody else was praising the Lord. It was as if the glory of God moved in and you forgot all about what you were going through and got caught up in the glory of God. The Lord is saying that should be normal for the child of God. Regardless of what you're going through, if you'll praise Him, He will lift you out of the trouble you're in and begin to bring glory through your life. Anybody can praise Him when their wife likes them and their kids thinks they're cool and they got plenty of money in the bank. Anybody can praise Him when everything's going their way. But God's looking for somebody tonight that's going through a trial. He's looking for somebody that's been run over by the devil. He's looking for somebody that can praise Him while they're in need. Praise delivers the praiser from selfishness, turning our attention away from ourselves to the one we're praising. Praise feeds our minds with the truth of God. Praise purges our imaginations by the beauty of God. Praise opens our hearts to the love of God. Praise gives our wills to the purposes of God. And then in verse 2, God tells us what He wants us to praise Him for. He says, "I want you to praise Him for His mighty acts and His excellent greatness." Again, He's got it in the proper order. If you don't praise Him for His mighty acts, you'll never be able to appreciate His excellent greatness. Praise Him for His mighty acts. It was through His mighty acts that He reveals His excellent greatness to us. Praise Him for His mighty act of crucifixion. Did He die for you? one. Amen. I need to start over and preach a message on crucifixion here tonight. We need to praise Him for the mighty act of crucifixion. We need to also praise Him for His mighty act of resurrection. We need to praise Him for His mighty act of ascension, because He did ascend and is now seated at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. We need to praise Him for His mighty acts. And while we are praising Him for His crucifixion, and while we are praising Him for His resurrection, and while we are praising Him for His ascension, we need to not forget that we need to be praising Him for His soon return. And it's while we're praising Him for His mighty act of crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and His soon return that He begins to demonstrate to us and through us His excellent greatness through His miraculous works. You talk about a miracle. Let me tell you about a miracle that demonstrates His excellent greatness, His virgin birth. Do you still believe in the virgin birth? Then we should be praising Him for His virgin birth. Man didn't have anything to do with it. Amen. It was all God and a little teenage girl that gave birth to the Savior of the world. We need to praise Him for the virgin birth. We need to praise Him. He demonstrated His excellent greatness in living a sinless life in this same filthy world that you and I are living in. He stayed here 33 and one half years, and the Bible itself says that no guile was ever found in His mouth. He was a spotless, sinless Son of the living God. We need to, I don't know anybody that's lived a perfect life, except we ought to praise Jesus. He demonstrated His excellent greatness through His supernatural ministry while He walked on the earth. Every time He told the blind to see, they saw. Every time He told the deaf to hear, they heard. Every time He told the crippled to walk, they walked. Every time He told the devil to go, he went. Every time He told the dead to live, they lived. We should be praising Him because He's demonstrating His excellent greatness through His supernatural ministry. Amen. He demonstrated His excellent greatness through His voluntary death. Nobody murdered the God that saved us. Nobody killed Him. Three little rusty nails could have never killed the God that I'm serving. Are you hearing me tonight? Yes. When He got ready to die, He said, I hold all power in my hand. And He looked down through the ages of time, and He saw you and I with all of our sins hanging all over us. And He knew there was only one way to deliver us from all of our sin, and that was for Him to lay His life down. And so joyfully, gladly, and voluntarily, because He loved you while you were yet a sinner, He wasn't killed so you could have life. Amen. He laid His life down so that you could be delivered. We need to praise Him. He demonstrates His excellent greatness through His guarded burial. Now, I've traveled across the United States some, and I've traveled into some other countries, and some of y'all may think this is strange, but this is one of the things that I pay attention to and I notice when I'm going through towns and I'm going into other places. I notice the graveyards. I've been to Israel. I've seen, you know, they bury them on top of the ground. They're rocks. But you know what I've noticed? There are no guards in any of the graveyards in Israel. I went to Hollywood, USA, and saw the graveyard where a lot of the famous stars are buried, and the beautiful gates that are there, and all the beautiful stones that are there to honor their death. But I never saw one guard, not even a security guard, hanging out around any of those graveyards. In the town I live in, there's no one guarding any of those graves. My father-in-law passed away, and as wonderful as he is, our family is not paying any security guard to stand out there and watch over his grave. Amen. There's only one graveyard that I've ever heard anything about, and it was over in the Holy Land, where they rolled a stone over in front of the door, and then they paid guards to stand there and guard him. We need to be praising Him. Now, y'all better be careful. You'll get your religion to get all messed up. You'll get wanting to shout and praise the Lord and raise your hand and say amen and thank you, Jesus. And if you're not careful, you'll get messed up. And praise the Lord. And you'll start acting like a normal Christian that's really been washed in the blood and your sins are really gone. And you've got a real Savior that's alive and He's living in your life. And all you want to do is glorify Him. He demonstrated his excellent greatness in His supernatural, miraculous resurrection. When He got ready to get up on the third day, nobody called 911. He didn't need CPR. He didn't need one of those machines to shock his heart and give him a jump start. When He got ready to get up, He said, that same power that I hold in my hands when I laid my life down, that same power is what I'm going to use to take my life back up again. And no matter how many guards were standing in the graveyard on resurrection morning, when the angel came and rolled the stone away, there was not a guard that could keep Him in the grave. We ought to praise Him tonight because He's a living God. He is alive and well. He is a resurrected Savior. He demonstrated His excellent greatness through His wonderful ascension. While the disciples were looking and watching, He ascended through the clouds. When He got ready to leave here, He did not need permission from NASA space station. Our airports, TSA, did not get the opportunity to give Him a full body scan. When He got ready to leave this world that He created, He didn't need permission from any man that was living on the planet. Amen. When He got ready to leave this world, He just ascended through the clouds. And as they watched Him disappear, two angels stepped out on those clouds and said, this same Jesus that you've seen go away shall come again in like we ought to praise Him. And He demonstrates His excellent greatness each and every day of our life through His right now ongoing ministry of intercession for you and me. He's seated at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. And you know what He's doing? He's not playing solitaire. He doesn't have the latest video game. With great anticipation, awaiting His Father to give the command for Him to go and catch us away. In the meantime, He's praying for us. How many of you have ever needed somebody to pray for you? How many of you have ever asked somebody to pray for you? Well, you know that you don't need a priest to go before you. You know that you don't need anyone else to pray for you. You have the boldness to go before the throne of grace for yourself. But there's something about asking someone else to pray that seems to comfort and strengthen us just knowing they're praying. Somebody shout amen. And sometimes, you know, I get discouraged. I call my mother. I said, Mom, Jeff, would you pray for me? If you've got a mother that knows how to pray, you know how good it feels to be able to call Mom. I've got a dad. Sometimes I call Dad, I just need you to pray for me. And he'll pray for me. It means something if you've got a dad that prays, can pray for you. Sometimes you can call on someone in the church that you've got great confidence in. And it does something to you. It helps your faith. It helps you to believe that God really is going to come through, just knowing that someone's praying for you. I've been blessed. I've been fortunate. All those years that I spent traveling up and down the highway, I had grandparents who were Holy Ghost filled, some of those old time Holy Ghost filled tongue talking kind of grandparents. Yeah. And my little granny lived way out in the sticks in a little mobile home. She never had a wireless phone. She never had a cell phone. She had a phone hanging on the kitchen wall with a cord on it. Now, the cord was probably supposed to be about 10 feet, but my granny had it so stretched out she could reach from one end of her little house trailer to the other end of her little house trailer with that phone. And I'd travel all over this state preaching in our churches. Some of our churches are dry as birds' nest. Some of our people stare at our preachers, and it's almost like they want you to fail. And so when our preachers leave the pulpit and they're headed home, they're discouraged. They feel like they've bombed out. They couldn't get anybody to nod, much less say amen. I mean, some of our congregations, you almost think those are the meanest people in the world. The way they helped you preach, that it gets discouraging. I would get in my car. I'd feel like I had bombed out. I'd be so discouraged. I'd be by myself. I'd pick up my cell phone, and I'd call my granny. And she'd answer me on her phone with a cord. And I'd say, "Granny, it's Jeff. Would you pray for me?" My granny got so used to me calling that she no longer even asked why I needed prayer. So I'd call it, and she'd just start into praying. And I'd just hold on the line. And before long, it wouldn't be long, my granny would be speaking in that heavenly language. She'd be letting out two or three of them little war hoots she'd let out. Amen. And then all at once, I knew Granny was walking the floors, because sometime during the conversation, the phone would slip out of her hand. I knew it slipped out of her hand because I could hear it hit the linoleum floor, and the cord was winding it back all the way to the kitchen. And I just hold on to the phone because I knew after a while Granny's going to pick that phone up. And when Granny would pick that phone up, she'd say, "Honey, everything's going to be all right. I just got a hold of heaven and everything's going to be all right." I've come by to tell somebody tonight, we need to praise Him for His excellent greatness. He died for us. He rose again on the third day. But He has not forgot about us. While we're waiting on Him to come, He's praying for us tonight. He's praying for you in this service that you will receive from Him what His blood has already purchased. Wow, I feel Him. Somebody praise Him. I feel the Holy Spirit in this place right now. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Y'all better be careful. You'll get healed back there. Just thinking about Jesus saying to the Heavenly Father, "You see these stripes on my back? I took that for her cancer. You see these stripes on my back? I took that for that tumor that's as big as a grapefruit in her belly. You know that stripe on my back? I took that for all the diseases." Jesus is praying for you. I'm ready to quit. He tells us where to praise Him. He tells us what to praise Him for. And all that's well and good. But the next thing He tells us is how He wants us to praise Him. If you knew how He wanted it, would you give it to Him His way? You know, I made this statement. I've heard other preachers make the statement. Everybody just praise Him in your own way. But if you're really interested in pleasing the Lord, wouldn't you like to know how He wants you to do it? Glory to God. He said, "Here's how I want you to do it. I want you to do it with the sound of a trumpet." How many trumpet players do we have here tonight? Raise your hands. Well, we're in trouble then, aren't we? If we're going to take the Bible literal, every one of us better get us some trumpet lessons. No, the trumpet is symbolic. The trumpet is an instrument of celebration. In those high moments of our lives, when everything is going great, He wants us to praise Him. Do we have anybody here that the Lord has been good to you? There's our trumpets. There's the trumpet section right here. I just wish all the trumpets would praise Him right here. Those trumpets sound good if we could get some of those harps to join in. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, and then praise Him with a psaltery and a harp. A harp is a different instrument. It has a completely different sound. But when you add it to the trumpet, you see, God is building Him a symphony. In this room tonight, each and every one of us are His instruments. Would you allow Him to take you in His hands? He says, the harp and stringed instruments. Do we have some? Hold that guitar up where people can look at it while I talk about it. How many of you would like for the Lord to take you in His hands, just like this man is taking this instrument in His? That instrument cannot make music the way He's holding it now. Would you hold it as if you were about to play? He has just embraced it. Now, don't it make you want to praise Him to think that He has reached out to you, taken you in His hands, pulled you close into Him, and embraced you? Now, some of us, we want that. We enjoy that. God, You hold me up close to You. But I want to tell you something about harps and stringed instruments. Unless those strings on that instrument are under some kind of tension or stress, they do not have the ability to make the beautiful sounds. We come in here to worship the Lord. Our lives are under pressure. We're stressed out. Have you ever watched somebody tune one of those instruments? They got those little keys on the end, and they start turning those strings, and they're applying more pressure and more tension. Sometimes, you know, they're up there. This bothers me. I'm going to complain a little. They get up in front of the church, string instrument players, you know, it's their time to sing. Ding, 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 ding. And then they'll turn that thing on the end. And you'll start squinting your eyes. You're thinking, man, if he turns that thing one more time, he's going to break a string. But you see, there is that instrument has to be tuned. When God embraces you, He's embracing you because He wants to tune your. And He's going to use that pressure. He's going to use that stress you're going through in your marriage. You're going through in your finances. You're going through with the health of your body. You think at any moment, if He tightens me one more time, I'm going to break a string. I'm going to come apart. Amen. But you know what He's about to do? Just about the time you think those strings are going to break, He's going to start picking you and plucking you and strumming you. And some of you have been picked this week. You've been plucked this week. You've been strung this week. And if you're not careful, you'll whine and you'll complain because you're all out of tune. But when God gets your attitude right, He can put the pressure on. And when they start picking and plucking and strumming, instead of you whining, you'll join the symphony and you'll make beautiful music for the Lord. Is this okay? You see, it's the pressure on the saint that makes him beautiful. Thank you, my friend. It's the tension when they're picked at and plucked and strummed. You almost feel like you're being mistreated. But never forget whose hands you're in. While you're going through hell with gasoline britches on, you are in the hands of the Lord. And while He's holding you, He's going to bring the beauty out. While you're going through the fire, He's going to bring the joy out. Now hold on, because this is going to be good. Praise Him with a timbrel. And we got any tambourines here? We don't have it in my church. So there's four when I got there. And as soon as I seen them, I hit them. Hey, man, I know I got some people here that helped me hide them. I tell. What do you do with a tambourine? The tambourine, you shake it and you beat it. Yeah. And sometimes it's as if the world is shaking and we're taking a real beating. And the Lord is saying, if you'll praise me while you're shaking. And while the world is beating you down, if you'd squeeze one of those hallelujahs out. I'll let you play in heaven's band. I'll let you join the symphony. I'm looking for somebody that can praise me while they're falling all to pieces. I'm looking for somebody that can praise me, amen, while they're all beat down, beat up, run over. I'm not looking for somebody else to come in here and tell me how mean the devil is and how bad you've had it all week. I'm looking for somebody to come in here and say, I've got the joy of the Lord and I got something to praise Him for. Now praise Him with the dance. Don't backslide on me now, because God's looking for some dancers. And I really had to get busy studying before I could preach on dancing in the church. Because dancing is offensive to some people, but the Bible talks about dancing. And He includes dancing in praise. Yeah. Matter of fact, David danced before the Ark of the Covenant as he was bringing it back to the house of David. And his own wife was so offended when he came home. And then he said, well, let me tell you something. I wasn't dancing for your daddy, and I wasn't dancing for you. I was dancing for the Lord, and you hadn't seen all that there is to see. Because the next time I get an opportunity, I'm going to bust a new move. Listen, here's what he's saying. The word dance there means wild movements with the feet. Wild movements with the feet. You know what he's saying? He's saying when life has gone wild. When your life has gone wild, it's time to praise Him. I was on my way to church tonight. I was coming down the interstate. One of my church members called me, started telling me how bad she had it. She said it was so bad last night. I'm so glad I could call your wife. I didn't know that she'd even called my wife. My wife didn't tell me about the situation. And so I was coming down the road. She calls me. She says, last night I just wanted to call 911 and have them come over and pick me up and take me to a padded room somewhere because everything was just falling apart on me. Amen. And I called your wife. You know what she told me? Your wife told me that I need to start praising the Lord. She said it halfway made me mad because I wanted her to tell me that she felt sorry for me because of what I was going through. But Pastor, I called you today to say while I was praising him, things began to turn around. Things began to change. Here's what the Lord is saying to us tonight. In this room, the Lord has a full symphony. There's people here who have been enjoying good times. You've got the trumpets tonight. There's other people that you've got so much stress on you that you think if anything else happens, you're going to snap. You're going to fall all to pieces. And the Lord is saying, I've got a place for you in my symphony. Others, you feel like the whole world is falling apart. You're beat up and run over, and the Lord is saying, I've got a place for you to play in my symphony. Others, the whole world's gone wild, and you don't know if it'll ever come back to the right place or not, and the Lord is saying, I've got a place for you. Yeah. And if we would all start praising the Lord right where we are with what we're going through, heaven would enjoy the sweet sounds of our praise. Will you stand with me tonight? Let everything that hath breath. Now tonight we've got a set of drums over here. Some churches backslide over the drum set. But the Lord said, praise him upon the loud cymbals and the high sounding cymbals. If we were to all close our eyes tonight and meditate like sweet little Christian people, everything got real quiet, holy, reverent, and out of nowhere, someone slipped over on that drum set and come crashing down on those cymbals, we'd have old-fashioned Pentecostal meeting. There'd be some screaming, some squealing, some shouting, some jerking. You wouldn't be in the spirit. You'd be shocked. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. Sometimes life comes at us with shocking circumstances. Tragedy. Crisis. And the Lord is saying, right there's where you need to praise me. I was traveling around preaching and come in from service one Friday night and my telephone rang. It was the hospital in Fort Payne, Alabama, saying they had my baby brother there. He'd been in a head-on collision, automobile accident. And they wouldn't give me any information over the phone. My mom and dad were pastoring down in South Alabama and couldn't get to him right away. I was the closest one to him. And I rushed to the hospital and got hospital treatment. They wouldn't tell me nothing. All they would say is, we have him in the emergency room. And they expected me to sit still in the waiting room. And I remember that night, I went to the men's room. I didn't need to wash my hands. I needed to find me a place to talk to the Lord. And I remember standing in front of the sink, staring in the mirror, saying, God, I don't know what to ask for. I don't know if he's alive or dead. If he is alive, I don't know what his condition is. I don't know how to pray. And these words came out of my mouth, and it was the birth of the revelation of this message I've preached to you tonight. I said, I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit leading me. Many of you know that if you're a child of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. These words came out. I don't know what to ask for, but I'm going to praise you until I know how to pray. And tears were rolling down my face. And I said to the Lord, these tears are not tears of fear or worry. I give them to you as a sacrifice praise and my faith in your name. The tremble in my voice, I refuse to allow you to hear it as doubt and unbelief. I offer it to you as honor and reverence and praise under your name. And I stood in front of that mirror and I cried my tears, and I refused to worry, and I refused to doubt, and I forced myself to praise the God that I had just preached about. And I walked out of the restroom, and a nurse was in the waiting room looking for me, and she said, "Your brother is asking for you now." And then I really got some praise going. And I went back to see him laying on the emergency gurney. The nurse told me both legs are broken, both arms are broken. He will lose all of his teeth. We're going to have to do exploratory surgery on his chest to determine the damage. We can't get to him until we get the other guy loaded on the helicopter. The other guy was a pastor that I had just preached for a few weeks earlier. My little brother wanted to date his daughter. And while he was turning in his daughter's driveway, the pastor hit him head on. My baby brother looked at me, all broke up, and said, "We've got to pray for Brother Schrader." And I laid my hand on his shoulder. I'll never forget, the dials of the instrument were impressed in his shoulder. And we started praying, and I started praising the Lord. And the nurses came and said, "You got to go out of here. You're causing too much commotion." And that was about 11 o'clock that night. And I went back out into the waiting room with the burden lifted. He was alive, and I was praising the Lord, and I was praying for God to help him, and I was praying for God to help Brother Schrader. And at 11:30, the swinging doors of the emergency room come swinging open, and there stood my big old baby brother on his own 2 feet with his own hands up in the air with no broke bones. And he didn't lose one tooth, and he never had one surgery. And he said, "God, I'll accept my call to preach." And he's pastoring a church in Mobile, Alabama tonight. And if we're not careful, we'll sit around here in our churches thinking praise is just for times of celebration and when the song is right and when we're feeling happy. But I've come by to tell you that if you want to see the power of praise, you want to see the mighty acts and the demonstration of excellent greatness, then you learn how to praise God while you're going through the fire. You learn how to praise God when you don't feel nothing. You learn how to praise God when you'd rather do anything else but praise Him. And there'll be a God that'll show up for you, and He will demonstrate His miraculous power in your life. Oh, I feel Him.